Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing this morning? Today, Paul is heading to Jerusalem, someplace he's been trying to get to for a while now, nearing the end of his third missionary journey. And kind of an interesting aspect here, because as we said the last time, he knew that things weren't going to be exactly the way he probably would have liked. An interesting day today, as again, I find a little ironic that he's going to face some of the things that he put people through way back before his conversion, but also that he's been dealing with his whole time on his journeys of the persecution. I find it interesting that how much the want to use the word classical Old Testament Jews really are fighting this new doctrine of grace. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for this time to spend in your word, Lord, that may I be able to relay the words that you have given us in a way that's understanding, and that everyone will understand and will know how you feel about things. And it's not my will, Lord, but your will. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So we just jump in here. We're in Acts 21:15. That's where we left off yesterday. Excuse my crackly voice. I don't know why it is. I should have grabbed some water. Well, in Acts 21:15, as we last remembered, Paul had arrived in the area and was up at Caesarea. Just that's where he's at right this minute, and he's getting ready to head down to Jerusalem. So I'll start reading at verse 15. Excuse me one second. I'm going to grab my water. I'll be right back. Got a lot of reading today, so I better take a drink. Anyway, so after those days, we took up our carriages and went to Jerusalem. Then went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. Funny thing that they mentioned that he was an old site. Can't find out anything about him. I always found it interesting that they mentioned some of these people. Their name is recorded for all time in the Bible. We don't know much about them, except what you read in a verse here, a verse there. And we don't see him anywhere else in the Bible, but some people think that he may have been an actual witness of Jesus. Realize that at the moment we're about 25, 30 years after Jesus went on to heaven. So it's a good little while, but it's not so long that lots of people still remember him. So we think some of the commentaries seem to think that might be why he's mentioned, that everybody knew him then, knew of him. But either way, he's going to be a good person and help out Paul and his company and put him up in his house. Verse 17, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. It always seems to start off that way, but we'll soon see that that doesn't last long. It's amazing the division of that time frame between the people that wanted to hold on to the law and those that were trying to spread the good word, the good news of Jesus paying the ultimate price for our sins. On to verse 18. The day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. James, you remember, is actually, he wrote an actual book in the Bible, and he's one of the apostles. Not one of the original 12 apostles, but I should say a disciple. Continuing on. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. So already they're warning him. I get an impression here that he may have been doing some great work with the Gentiles, but he's getting some flack from the Jewish traditionals. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. So that was they're going to know that that Paul is in town, so they're going to have some questions for him. So I think that the brethren are warning him of what the general error is. So verse 23, do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. I remember when Paul did a vow back a few chapters ago, just back in Acts 18, 18, we saw where Paul also did a vow. As you see here, after Paul had tarried there for a good while, and they took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head in Cenchreae, for he had a vow. Just a memory verse to remember that Paul is familiar with this process. So now he's back in Jerusalem, and there's four others who are doing this vow. So back in verse 21-24. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charge with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things wherein they were informed concerning thee are nothing but that thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. So basically, the brethren are suggesting that Paul do this vow with these four people, and it'll show everyone else that he's still a Jew, and that he still follows the law. And I want to mention a verse here in Corinthians, I think that will reiterate. Some things along this line. So we're here in 1 Corinthians 9:20. This is Paul's feelings about how he deals with people. And so I'll read it here. Verse 9:20, verses 20 through 23. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. In other words, the Gentiles. And to the weak became I weak, I might gain the weak, and I made all things to all men, that I may be all means save some. So it's just Paul's general direction. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So in other words, he's not against the traditions of the law, but that he tries to reach people on their level. And I always kind of thought that way of Jesus too, that he wasn't always, he sometimes was direct, but when it came to the general population, kind of went to where they were. And I always get that feeling about that Paul learned a lot from Jesus, that 3 years in Arabia, that his general outlook was to be friendly, to try to be someone who was understanding and to be able to gain their confidence to show them the new dispensation of Christ. So on to Acts 21:25. As touching the Gentiles, which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangling, and from fornication. So basically, if you remember back to the Council of Jerusalem, I won't reread it, but basically that it was agreed that the Gentiles weren't going to have to circumcise, but that the only ordinances they were going to be required to do that were based on the law was these few things of keep themselves from the from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. So those were what the Council of Jerusalem decided, besides circumcision. They weren't going to require the Gentiles to circumcise themselves. So I guess what some of these other believers in, and you'll see here shortly, that some Jews had heard, who were up in Asia, had heard him speaking to the Gentiles, that they didn't have to do these things of the law, and so they're kind of taking it the wrong way. And that's a general thrust of this of today's message, is that Paul has to try to explain himself again to those that believe he's trying to move people away from the law. Continue reading here. So back to the vow. So Paul's going to go through with his vow, and we see in verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. So this is where it gets sticky again. There must have been some Jews in the area that day that were from Asia. And we'll reflect back to Acts 6:9. Let me go back to 27 again. Let me introduce this next section. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. And I wanted to show, I found this kind of interesting, that here he is, he's trying to show that he's still a Jew and he still cares for the Jewish people. But there's others who... This is what the part I was talking about, that remembering back to Stephen, I'm trying to figure out a way to say this, that Paul was one of those that was very similar to what these Jews are saying, is that they're trying to convince or convert the people away from the Jewish tradition and the laws of Moses. And remember that Jesus always said that he didn't come to change the law, but to fulfill the law. And it's interesting to me that that it seemed like the Jews knew that a Messiah was coming, and they were all looking forward to this day, but still they don't see it. And I find it rather interesting that Paul now, because he understands and knows exactly what Jesus came for and why he came, that those even now in Jerusalem are doing the exact same thing they did to others back in, this would be about 20 years ago or so. So I want to refresh the memory of Stephen, and remember that Paul stood by and watched them stone Stephen. And back in Acts 6:9 is where that's portrayed. I'm just going to read, I'm going to read Acts 6:9 through 15 in that particular story. And you'll see how it it's almost the exact same thing again that's happening to Paul is the same thing that happened to Stephen back then. So starting in verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertarians and the Creans and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So at first, again, Stephen was making a lot of sense. And a suburban man, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses, against God. Now here we come, the traditional Jews that are going right back to the law and don't want to listen and just want to stick to the law like some sort of and not seeing the reason behind the law. So they're so devout to Moses and the law that they think that's blasphemous to God. Just like Paul did back when he first started. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him into the council. And we're going to see this exact same story is going to happen to Paul. And set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that the Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it began had been the face of an angel. So again, we're going to see that the same exact thing is going to happen, almost identical to what Paul is going to go through here in the next few verses. So back to Acts 21:28, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. You know, it's a well-known fact back then that the temple itself, there was an area where Gentiles could sit and be outside the temple area near it, but they could never go inside of it. So the basic accusation by these Jews is that Paul is polluting the temple. We'll see again here in Romans that Paul reflects back as to his basic mission. Here in Romans 1:14, he writes, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So he's still trying to do his mission. I just wanted to show that Paul was basically still for the Greeks, and so he couldn't deny that he was a ministering to the Greeks. So back to Acts 21:29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And this gentleman and these same people that are making this accusation are referencing back to something they saw in Ephesus. Just a reminder of who this gentleman is. It's Trophimus. Back in Acts 24, we're going to see that it is true. These people aren't lying, and that's always been an issue. You can see in this verse here, and there accompanied him into Asia. And if you look down, you'll see that Trophimus was there. So what they're saying is true. But again, it's kind of like some things I see today they're only saying part of the story to try to prove their point. So back to Acts 21:30, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. So basically, he was thrown out of the temple for his being blasphemous. And as they went about to kill him, they're actually going to stone him, just like Paul, just like Stephen. This is the part where I was reflecting back that I think it's kind of ironic that Paul is now going through the exact same thing he witnessed Stephen go through. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. So now the Romans get involved, and it's almost a they actually save him. Verse 32, when immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them, and when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So they basically left Paul alone as soon as they saw the soldiers arrive. So in some ways, as we see in 2 Corinthians 11:25, Paul mentions this incident to the Corinthians, that how much suffering he actually went through for the Lord. I'll just read it here. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day, and have been in the deep. And we'll see more of this as we continue in his journey to Rome. But Paul wasn't having an easy time trying to relay the message. Getting to the end for today almost. So back to Acts 21:33. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. So of course the Romans don't know what's going on. They just know there's a big uprising, and they seem to be centered around this gentleman, Paul. So they're wondering what he did wrong. And some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And I thought I'd take a little break here and show you some of these areas. They built this scale model version of what Jerusalem looked like. It's in Jerusalem, you can see it, it's in a museum there. It's just a scale model. But I thought I'd show you a couple of pictures of what they believe the area looked like. And if you look dead center, we're gonna be mentioning this castle here shortly. And it's right in front of us. It's called Antonio's Fortress. And it's where the Roman guard was basically stationed. And if you look just to the left of this picture, left side of this picture, you'll see where the Temple Mount is, where the temple was. And this is a better view of the actual fortress that with the barracks around it, where all the soldiers stayed. So this is where they're going to take Paul. There's another view of it, of Jerusalem in that time frame. You see the Temple Mount there, and the fortress just behind it. Kind of a really neat scale model of what Jerusalem looked like about the time of Paul. So that's the castle that they mention in this verse. And when he had come upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. So basically Paul was so beaten up already that the soldiers almost had to carry him, excuse me, for the violence that he has. Verse 36, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." And again, kind of reminiscence of what Jesus went through. So I thought I'd reflect back a couple of verses. Sounds very similar to what Jesus went through. The Jews didn't like something. They brought the Romans in and wanted to just eliminate the issue rather than try to understand it. So back in Luke 23:18, we see, and here we have, they're talking about Jesus actually. And the multitude cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man and release us Barabbas." And in John, now we see the same account in 19:5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." And when the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I have no fault in him." And more or less, I find it interesting that seems like time keeps repeating itself. A very similar situation is happening to Paul. They basically wanted this man dead, didn't want to hear anything about him. And back to Acts 21:37, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst I speak Greek?" The captain's who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" So I'm assuming that he must have been speaking Hebrew. And so the captain wondered if he knew Greek. And he goes on to say, "Art thou not the," and so this is the captain, thinking this man was somebody else. And he says, "Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days made an uproar and lead us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers?" And Paul comes back and says, Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of a no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and we're going to end there today, my poor voice. And so the next section, he's going to go on to speak to the people, and he's just basically going to reflect back on all the people, his life story, more or less. So we're going to leave that till next time, and try to decide how to do it, because actually Paul retells his story over the next couple of chapters during the six trials he goes through with different people. And so we'll start off with him talking to his own here, coming up in chapter 22. But we'll continue that tomorrow. And so I'll end for today. And we'll end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this, for a man like Paul, that you instilled in his heart a real drive to spread your word. I'm so thankful, Lord, for all you've done for us to make sure that here we are 2,000 years later, and that we know for sure that you exist, and that you came to save us from our sins. You did so much for us, and that it's so good to reflect upon the work that you started and that was continued on by many men over the last 2,000 years. Thank you, Lord, so much. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I just think back so much to, so thankful of all that the Lord has done to try to make sure that his word is maintained through the ages, and that we're still reading the same word today. And part of the reason I did this study is that I really want to do it for real and go through Turkey and Jerusalem and visit all these places. And unfortunately, based on current events and the pandemic and all that, probably unlikely that I'll ever get to see some of these places. So I've enjoyed this study a lot. And here we are. We're not done yet. We still got some more to go with Paul. But I was just reflecting back that it's been good to see how much Paul really spread the word. And I hope that Someday, maybe I'll get to meet him. Looking forward to that day. Paul and so many others, Jesus also, right? So many things I'd like to hear him tell us about himself. But also I look forward to meeting all these men that were so influential in the beginning of the church. So on that note, I'll talk to you again tomorrow, and you all have a great day.